Some of you have had the pleasure already of meeting Sam Brakey, and we are very fortunate that God has sent Sam to us with a message this morning. Sam comes to us with years of pastoral experience. Sam has also been an area minister. He was the executive director of Mustard Seed in Edmonton. And more recently, over the past few years, he has been commissioned by the Baptist Union to visit church by church with the churches of our denomination to work with the congregations and the staff and the leadership to bring about church health in this difficult season in churches across North America. Many of you filled in a survey several weeks ago. And some of you came on Friday, those who were here, we are grateful, to a meeting to discuss the results of those surveys. That was another step that we are taking as a congregation to discern what God is calling us to as we minister to one another and as we minister to those in our city. And all of that process has been designed and overseen by Sam. And with that, I'll pray. Day after day, Heavenly Father, you remind us that you are good, that we can trust you, that you care for us, that you have provided in your church the gifts through your Holy Spirit to equip and build up your saints so that we might live lives of worship and service in the world. We pray for Sam, that you, whom you have sent here to accomplish your purposes, that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit, that you would guide his words to our hearts and minds, that your word would accomplish its purpose in our lives as we submit to you and to your word. We pray for Sam as well, that this morning would be an encouragement and a time of strengthening for him as he serves in so many places, that he might begin to see signs of the fruit of his labor and take heart. We pray that in everything, though, Father, you would be pleased and praised. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Joel, and thank you each one for your warm welcome here this weekend. Those of you who I've had a chance to speak to personally, I much appreciate the way you love your church and you love your pastors. So thank you very much. This has been a great experience in which I've had a chance to get to know you better. I have known well of this church over the years, but now I know much better, and I'm thankful for that. There are a number of things that came to the surface in our survey of the congregation, and three things I would like to highlight as I begin this morning. First of all, you have a deep love for Christ to be in the midst of your church, and it's your desire that Jesus Christ would bring to you unity, and that you would know that unity in your relationship with each other and in the mission to which you've been called. You also feel strongly committed to making disciples of Jesus Christ. It is your desire that you would pass on what you have received to others that they might become the people who would lead the next generation of our church. And I thank you for that desire and for that hunger. And thirdly, you have a significant desire to reach out to those who do not yet know Jesus Christ. You want to do that in practical ways. One person said that using words if necessary. But it is your desire that each person in the community in which you come from, in which you are part of, would know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through your relationship with them. I thank you for those godly ideals, and I pray that God would honor them in your midst. Over the next weeks, the leaders of the church, the diaconate, and myself will be working together about a pathway forward, and you will be hearing more about those things. But what is important about a pathway is that you need to know the direction in which you go. This passage this morning from Psalm 126 is a reminder of what it means to follow the pathway that the Lord would give us. Psalm 126, verse 1 begins, "The Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. We were like those who dreamed." When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Joel and I and John have a pastoral colleague who knows what it means to be restored to the Lord. His name is Michael, and his young wife Sarah, her sister and husband, as well as her parents, were enjoying a Christmas holiday in paradise on the shores of Thailand, the western shores of Thailand. He admits that prior to this vacation, he had been considering leaving the ministry. But on Boxing Day 2004, Michael and Sarah were recovering that morning from a mild food poisoning episode, and they decided to skip a snorkeling opportunity that was available to them. They were lying quietly in the beach cabin when they began to hear screams coming towards them, and those screams increased in volume and in terror. They were initially convinced that there must be a terrorist activity happening around them and that they needed to run for shelter. But as they came out of their cabin, they realized that there was a 10-meter wave approaching them. Within moments, this wall of debris and water was pressing against them, and they were waiting to find each other. They reached out and found what they needed most, that companionship in the midst of stress. But suddenly the two of them were trapped between two large sheets of corrugated metal that had come off a roof somewhere. They were sandwiched between them as a couple. In many ways, that metal protected their lives because they were being pressed on all sides by the debris that was coming behind them with such great force. All of this was possible, and it was irresistible for them to know how best to deal with this debris. And Michael realized that the pressure that was coming behind them would crush them unless he pressed hard against this metal shield in front of him. Eventually, they broke free, and they were able to crawl into a second floor window of a nearby hotel. As they made their way in, they realized the water was following them, and they went to the third floor, then the fourth floor, and then to the roof. It was at that time when they began to realize the pressure was off that he noticed that there was a large gash in his hand. About 30 hours later, it took 36 stitches for that to be repaired. It was a time in his life where he realized that he needed to be restored. We would hope that this is the end of the story, but it was only just the beginning. Over the next hours, he and his wife were separated twice. They had received news that members of their family had been lost, and they were desperate to find hope. But their prayers were answered, and in the days to come, they came to see their family members again, and they were restored to each other and to full health. The tsunamis that faced the people of Israel seemed to come one after the other. God's chosen people were led into slavery, and they were slaves for 400 years. In their escape from slavery, they were trapped between an impassable sea and an angry Egyptian army. The land, when they passed that sea that they had been promised that they would go to, was not move-in ready. Their temple and the symbol of God's presence among them when they did get established was eventually destroyed. And in that time, they were taken captive and hauled off to other countries. Yet time after time, they were restored to the Lord. The words of this psalm were a song to them. They would sing it at important times in their life together. It is called a psalm of ascents. It is the seventh of 15 psalms in a row from Psalm 120 to Psalm 134 that people would sing together to reflect on the restoration of the Lord. Historians tell us that the Hebrew pilgrims sang these psalms on their way to the restored temple when it was rededicated. Further, the Levites, each time they gathered at the temple, would step up the steps singing these psalms, reminding themselves of the restoration of the Lord. Today, we also reflect on these words, and we give thanks that the God who restores is faithful. First Baptist Church, as a community of Christ followers, has much to be thankful for in its more than 125 years of existence. In its beginning, lay leaders and pastors who believed that Christ was Lord of his church realized that no obstacle or circumstance could stand in their way. They had a dream that was impossible from their perspective, but it was a dream that this community, this growing community, would come to know the love of Jesus Christ. In 1912, there was a cyclone that came through this area, and the roof of this structure was torn off and moved a number of blocks down the road. But that did not deter the mission of these faithful people, because they believed that the God who restores would continue to give them dreams. In the 70s, when families from this church began to move to the suburbs and other churches in the inner core began to lose people as well, God brought new hope to this church by bringing people who had a hunger to serve the inner city. And some of you are here today because of the impact of that ministry in your life. But today, your church, like many of our churches, is deeply concerned about its future. What is it that Christ would wish to do to restore us and to bring us hope and dreams that only he could fulfill? Even in these last days, we've been reminded of broken relationships between communities of people, with the judgment in our court system. We're reminded in our own family life of people that we have been separated from and hunger to have restoration with them. We know that our cities have become places of refuge for those who have come from other countries, but our cities are not welcome to those people, not welcoming to those people, because there are so many things that they need to understand and learn, and we need to understand and learn from them. What ways could God bring about his hospitality through you so that you could connect with others? I was surprised in the survey that 1 in 6 people could not identify a need around their home that their neighbors might have. There is a disconnect between us and those with whom we live. And God calls us to be restored in those relationships and to have hope in those things, that we would know his peace. Like the psalmist, it's time for us as leaders and members of churches to pray that our fortunes would be restored like streams in the desert. All around us, culture is changing so rapidly that we cannot just ride it out. This is not something we can wait through, but we need to pray and hunger together that our fortunes would be restored for the good of others. We can't withhold care in our cities until it is more convenient for us to be able to offer care to others who are more desperate than us. It's time to give thanks as people of the Lord and to dream together. What is Christ calling you to for a dream for this city? What is it that you would have a prayer on your heart that would happen in this city that only God could provide for? That is what we're called to hunger for. Yesterday, there were some images in our conversation that are only the beginning of some thoughts about what that would mean. But someone mentioned the hospitality of a table, a place where people could come and feel welcome and that they would receive the blessing that everyone at the table would receive. that they would extend that to each other and share it with multiple conversations within races and among races, that they would know together that there was hope for the future. Others have said that this place, this congregation, would be like a key that would open a door for others to come to know Christ. What is it that Christ has given you that has its greatest value only when you give it away? What might that be for you as a congregation? How can you demonstrate together your total dependence upon Christ to restore you in that ultimate purpose for which He has called you? Lord, restore our fortunes like streams in the desert. May we be united in purpose and in calling. May we make disciples of Jesus Christ that walk with Him and yearn for Him and hunger for His peace in the midst of this city. May we reach out to those who do not yet know the love of Jesus Christ and be His presence among them. Dream, give thanks, pray. I invite you to follow Christ in these ways.